our desire to lift your name high this morning for the sake of your name and for your greater fame. Amen. Good morning. How are you? I am so glad you're here today. Thanks for coming. Hey, before we get started, I am pleased to announce that Jonathan North will be joining our staff on November the 1st as our men's ministry pastor. He's going to be joining our adult team, and he'll focus on men and leadership development, and he'll also be a part of our Sunday morning teaching team. This is Jonathan and his family. His wife's name is Allison, and then the daughter, Avery, is 6, and Jackson is 4. Jonathan did his undergraduate studies at Middle Tennessee University, and he received his Master of Divinity degree at Southeastern Seminary in Wake Forest. And then for the last 4 years, he served as the lead teaching pastor at Fellowship Asheville. Like Mark Moody, Jonathan went through the Fellowship Bible Church Little Rock residency training program, so Jonathan knows a lot about our church, and so he's going to be able just to hit the ground running as he joins us. I've known Jonathan for over 4 years. He went with several of us back in September on the Colorado hiking and backpacking and fishing trip. There's Jonathan on the left in the red jacket. Jonathan loves anything outdoors, hiking, backpacking, fishing, sailing, paddleboarding, kayaking, target shooting. He loves guns. He loves to shoot guns. Any kind of shooting he loves. And he is a true fisherman, meaning that he stretches the truth about what he catches. I mean, he claimed when he got back from Colorado, he caught 13 fish and I only caught one. But I have picture proof here. There's Jonathan's pathetic little fish. And then, of course, my stringer full of fish there. So, anyway, just setting the record straight. Jonathan and Allison have sold their house in Asheville, and they found a house in the Devinger area. And so they're pretty much moving in and out of boxes. And so if you see Jonathan or Allison or the kids around, make sure and introduce yourself and welcome them to Southside Fellowship. Last week, we finished up our study through the book of Jonah, and we saw how the whole book leads to this one final question that God asked Jonah in chapter 4, verse 11. And God asked Jonah this question. He says, "And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left?" God asked, should I not care about this great city full of people who have no idea whatsoever as to who I am or the life that I want for them? Should I not care about people like that? And as we saw last week, this phrase, the people who don't know their right hand from their left, is referring to people who are clueless. They are helpless. They are hopeless. They are lost. They don't understand who God is or what God is really like. And God is asking, shouldn't I care about people like that? I think that's a haunting question because God puts that question not only to Jonah, but he puts it to us as well. In other words, if God cares about cities full of lost people, then the question is turned on us as the reader. Should we not care about the city, this city, our city? I'm talking about Greenville and the greater Greenville area. Should we not care about our city? And that's a question that I want to look at this morning from a very practical standpoint. And by the way, if you are a guest this morning, welcome. We're glad you're here. And you'll find that most Sunday mornings when you attend, we'll be preaching and teaching through whole books of the Bible, like we just finished up this series in the book of Jonah. But this morning, we're going to look at a practical application to this final verse in the book of Jonah. And then for the next several weeks after that, leading up to Christmas, we're going to be doing a series on our core values. But in January, we'll start back, Dave, with our series in Hebrews. So you've been waiting on that for quite a while. So we'll start working our way through the book of Hebrews. But this morning, what we want to look at is this question, shouldn't we care about our city? And I want you to hear more about a developing strategy
that we are putting in place to have more impact and influence in Greenville. Now, when we ask that question, shouldn't we care about our city? Interestingly enough, the prophet Jeremiah helps us answer that question, because he, in about 150 years after Jonah, Jeremiah was speaking to the Jewish exiles in Babylon. Now, many of us know Jeremiah 29:11. For some of us, if you've been around a church a while, this may be one of your favorite Bible passages. Jeremiah 29:11 is, "For I know the plans that I have for you, plans for welfare and not for evil, plans to give you a future and a hope." And we love that promise because God, because Jeremiah is revealing to us God's own words. We see God's goodness there, and we see the ultimate good that God wants for us. But that promise is set in a passage where God also tells his people, who are now a displaced people, a people that have been uprooted from their homes, they've been carted off to live the rest of their lives in among a foreign people, the Babylonians, a people who don't know God, don't worship the God they worship. This is the nation that destroyed their nation and destroyed their way of life. And here's what the prophet Jeremiah tells the exiles in Babylon just before he gives them the promise of hope. He says this in Jeremiah 29:7, "Seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." Now, this is a very practical, powerful word from Jeremiah to the exile. "Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you." In other words, as he says in the preceding verses, he says, build houses, settle down, raise families, don't be in a war with the ungodly culture you're in, but seek the welfare of the city where you are. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. The word welfare is the Hebrew word shalom, which means wholeness. It means peace and prosperity. In other words, we're being told, seek the good. Seek the very best. Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city in which you live. And the implication is, and in this way, you will help people see that Yahweh is the one true and living God. Now, when I came across this passage several years ago, I kept turning it over and over in my mind, asking God to show me what it might look like for us to seek the welfare of our city. And long story short, one of the things that we did is we went to an organization called Hands on Greenville, an organization that helps individuals and families and corporate and community groups find volunteer opportunities among the over 300 service organizations here in the upstate. And they have an annual event every year called Hog Day, Hands on Greenville Day, where hundreds of people from all over the city work together all over the city to help clean up schools and parks and senior centers and food banks and low-income neighborhoods. And so as a way of seeking the welfare of our city, we went to Hands on Greenville, and we went to its leadership, and this is what we said. We came and we asked them this question: how can we help make your organization more successful? How can we help you reach your goals? And the leaders were kind of blown away. They were shocked. They said, "We've never had a church come and say anything like this before. I mean, we've never had a church even participate with us before." And so they actually created an event for us to help with. And we had about 200 or more Southsiders working all over the city at food banks and in schools and various places. It was great. Now, since that time, we've been thinking about how we could do more of that kind of thing, coming alongside of organizations in Greenville, working with leaders of various service organizations in our city, seeking ways that we can give our lives away with no expectation of return. That's how we define service here at Southside, giving our lives away with no expectation of return. And this past year, what we've done is we've created a new staff position called the Director of City Involvement. And we asked Jonathan Parker, who was a part of our student ministry at that time, we asked Jonathan to come take the ball and run with it. And he's been doing a great job. And he's up here joining me at the table this morning.
Come join me.
Good to see you.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, yeah. We've done this before.
We have.
All right, good. We'll do it again.
Coffee.
And so Jonathan has joined the Greenville Chamber of Commerce. And he was accepted into Leadership Greenville, which is a big deal. In its 39-year history, with over 1,700 graduates, we're the first church to have somebody in the program. And Jonathan has experienced the same kind of amazement and shock reactions that we experienced with Hands on Greenville, and kind of a wow, we never had a church participate with us before. And so I've invited Jonathan up here this morning because I want you to hear about this developing strategy. I want you to hear about some of the stories that he's told me. And we believe this inside-out kind of strategy that we're going to be implementing as we move forward will, in fact, help us seek the welfare of our fair city, Greenville. So, Jonathan, welcome.
Thank you. Well, good morning. Thanks so much for taking some time to join us here for worship and to just hear what God is doing in Greenville. And it's so much fun to be excited about the city you live in, but I can say that it wasn't always that way for me. You need to hear a little bit of my story to kind of understand how God has worked. I came down to Greenville, South Carolina to go to school, and I'm thankful for the education I had, the friends I made. However, I went to a really strict fundamentalist school. From the time I was graduated, I wanted to get out of here. I just wanted to be done and away. But God had other plans for Jessica and I. So after we were married, Jessica and I started our lives here in Greenville. And needless to say, I did not want to be here. And that bitterness or discontentment of where God had us and how God was working started to really become evident in how I treated people. Family and friends, but especially those who I didn't know. And it just kind of started to spill over in how I saw just the world around me. And this kind of all came to a head. A buddy of mine named Andrew came up to Greenville for his birthday. And he said, "Hey, I want to take you out for lunch." It's like, "All right, that's cool. It's a little weird. It's your birthday, but you want to take me out for lunch?" Like, fine. I never turned down free meal. So we go out to lunch, and we're just talking, and Andrew and I had gone through a lot together. And I said, "Andrew, something just doesn't feel right." I said, "Have you noticed any changes in me since we graduated?" And it's the wrong question to ask. Because for the next 30 minutes, Andrew lovingly yet forcibly told me that I had become an unloving, uncaring, all-around selfish person to not only my friends and my wife, but also to just people I don't know. I was really glad I wasn't paying for that lunch because not asking. And I couldn't believe it. And then he said, "And by the way, based on everything I said and just how you've been living, I really don't want you at my party today." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, how you've been acting, I just don't want you there." He said, "Well, but if you decide to show up, that will be your way of committing to me that you're gonna start to change." So we wrapped up lunch, and I went back to my home. I told Jess everything Andrew said, what he told me about his party, and that I was unloving and uncaring and selfish, and my wife agreed. This is not a good day for me. And I said, "Really?" And she said, "Yeah, that's true." So I spent the afternoon just thinking, and I told Jess, I said, "Okay, I want to go to the party." So we drive downtown Greenville. We're going to meet at a restaurant. Before we got out, we prayed. I said, "God, if you're going to use us in Greenville and the lives of people here, show us tonight. Will you show us tonight?" And if I had time, I would tell you the whole story. But by 1 a.m. that Sunday morning, Jessica and I were sitting at a table with 11 people of all different lifestyles and beliefs talking about Jesus and the gospel. And about 10 hours later, 9 of those 11 joined us at the 11:30 service at Southside. And out of those 9, 6 of them are still active in the church. And that Monday morning, when we woke up, We were changed people. I was a changed person. I had fallen in love with Greenville and the people here, and I couldn't imagine being anywhere else. Over the next few minutes, you're going to see just a beautiful video of Greenville. And I may be biased, but I would say that Greenville is one of the prettiest and best downtowns in the Southeast. From restaurants to shops to parks to opportunities to see plays, Greenville has it all, and it's just a fun place to be. And as Charlie mentioned, our desire is to be a people that give our lives away with no expectation in return. To give our lives away to people in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools, where you work out, where your kids play soccer. To give our lives away to these folks with no expectation of return. Now, many churches in our area have service, but they take a different approach. And I don't want you to think that I'm throwing stones at them or that what they're doing is wrong or ineffective. But many churches have adopted this philosophy that we're going to do as much as we can, as often as we can, and pack our church calendar full of stuff. And I'm not saying that's not right, but we're looking at it differently. We're taking, as Charlie said, this inside-out approach. A big phrase that has really overtaken my mind and helped form some thoughts from a pastor here in the States is, if you want to reach people no one else is reaching, then you have to do things no one else is doing. You let that settle in. If you want to reach people that no one else is reaching, you have to do things that no one else is doing. And that's what we mean by this inside-out strategy. We're going to work to develop relationships with our city and our communities and our schools so that we can partner and join with them in what they're doing and what they're passionate about. That is, things that are good for our city, we want to be a part of. We want to become part of the fabric of our community. We just don't want to be a church or just another organization that a couple times a year we drop in, do something nice, which is a good thing, and then leave. But we actually want to be a part of it. We want to be known, the people that attend Southside, that our people are loving and caring and that they serve without any expectation of return, that we're a community of faith that lives this way because it's what Jesus has called us to be. He's demonstrated in his teaching and by example. As Charlie said, I've had just the amazing opportunities to interact with folks at the Chamber, to be part of the Leadership Greenville class, work with some local organizations, some businesses, and just meet some great folks in the city. And this idea of being a part of the city has really floored some of them. They don't have a category for a church wanting to be involved in what the city's doing. And I've had some really funny conversations, some great conversations with some of these folks. So I'm just going to take a few minutes to tell you some stories about what God is doing in the lives of people that are in our city. I was walking to dinner with a good friend of mine. We'll just call him Fred. And Fred grew up in a religious home, but when he went to college, kind of wrote it off, just was done with it, hadn't been attending any churches since. And we were just talking about what he was doing and how work was going for him. I was telling him, you're right there?
Yeah, okay. I'm almost falling.
The story shocked you out of your seat.
I'm not falling asleep. I'll tell you that. I mean,
at least it's not a window.
Yeah, you this won't would be put me to sleep, I guarantee you that.
And I was talking about what I was doing and what we were doing in the city, and he just interrupted me and stopped. He said, Jonathan, does Southside really love Greenville? And I smiled at him. I said, yeah, we love Greenville, but we love the people, too, of Greenville. And I began to share with him some of our desire to be part of the fabric of the city and what we want to do, what we have been doing, and some of our dreams and wishes for the future. And he just looked at me, and he could not wrap his mind around that a church would care this much about their city, let alone pay someone a full-time staff position to spend his time trying to connect the church, the people, to the city. And he said, you know, Jonathan, listen, I haven't been in church in a while, but the last few weeks I've been thinking about getting back into church. And, you know, I was talking to my wife and I told her, if we're going to go back to church, we're going to go to a church that's all about the city that we live in. He said, after talking to you, if we decide to start visiting churches again, we're going to start with your church. Because your church really loves Greenville. At another time, I was actually at a networking event, which is generally people trying to sell me stuff. But I was talking to people, and I introduced myself, tell them what I'm doing, where I'm from. And as we're mingling together, this guy makes a V-line for me. And he gets close. And for me to say someone's close, that's got to be really close, because I invade people's personal space all the time. And he's close, and he's like, "So what's the deal? Are you just like a recruiter trying to get more people on Sunday morning, trying to get some more money from them?" And I really was taken aback. I was like, no, I'm not recruiting anyone. I said, we want to serve the city with no expectation of return. Now, I mean, obviously, if someone is looking to visit a church, I'm going to invite them to mine. I like it a lot. I want them to come experience it. But if you attend a church, I'm not trying to take you from one. I said, and I'm definitely not trying to raise money. I said, there's no hidden agenda here. We just love our city and we love the people. And we just want to serve it with no expectation of return. And I began to tell him how some of those things were unrolling and some of the things we had done in the past with Hands on Greenville and some of our other partners. And as we were talking, kind of this angst or this you know, I can't believe this is true feeling kind of began to fade away. And by the end of it, he said, "Wow, I guess I have to come check out your church." Didn't even have to invite him. Just tell him what God's doing and how we're serving people. And he said he wanted to come check out the church. Now, these are great stories, but maybe some of you are thinking, but do you ever get to talk about your faith? Do you ever get to talk about Jesus? And that's what's so great about it. Is this one time I was at dinner with a friend of mine, and we were talking about just life and kind of sharing some of our story. And he said, "Okay, John, I got a question for you." He said, I'm a blank denomination. I go to this mainstream denomination. Am I welcomed in your church?" I said, "Yeah, sure. So we'd love to have you. We're not really interested in what denomination you're in or where you've come from. So we're not going to ask you about that. But what we're going to ask you about is your relationship with Jesus." And his eyebrows kind of went up. And I said, "And by that I mean, was Jesus' life, death, and resurrection sufficient to save you from your sins, the only hope you have for eternity?" And he said, "Well, you know, I believe in the golden rule. You know, do the best you can for others, and it will all work out in the end." I said, "I think that's a great rule. I said, I think serving and caring and loving on people is great. I said, but when I look at the life of Jesus, he's the only one that was able actually to fulfill that perfectly. He was the only one to live a perfect life, and that's why he could die the perfect death, so that our sins may be forgiven, that we may have a relationship with him. So, asking again, what are you going to do with Jesus?" And he said, "I'm going to go to the bathroom. I will wait." You know, and a few minutes later, he comes back and he sits down and he looks across the table at me and he smiles. And he says, "Hey, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for what you said, but I want to thank you also for how you said it. I really could tell that you cared about me. So I look forward to continuing to talk about this with you in time." Just real simple conversations, and they've been fun. They've been all over the spectrum with all sorts of people. But God has continued to open up opportunities to talk about what we're doing, how we want to serve our city, and that has prompted questions and conversations about why a church would do this. And some of those conversations have led to talking about Jesus and why he came and what my relationship with him means and what does it really look like to trust and follow Jesus. I want you to know, when I go into a place and I'm asked to introduce myself or someone asks why we're doing what we're doing, there's no agenda or hidden agenda anyway. I normally say something like, "Jonathan Parker, I love Jesus, I love the gospel, and that compels me to love my city and the people in it, and I get to serve at a church that feels the same way." And people are just like, "Real? Wow, okay." Now, we all know Greenville's not lacking churches. Some of you drove by 12 on your way here, okay? Greenville's not lacking churches, but one of the things I'm learning from listening to folks in the city and other organizations is that there are a lot of churches in Greenville, but not a lot of churches trying to be a part of Greenville. A lot of people that have land and a building, but not a lot of people whose people have become a part of the city. One person in the city I was talking to said, described churches in Greenville like this. He said, mostly churches are isolated to themselves. For once in a while, they come out and they do something, and then they go right back into isolation. We've decided to be different. We've decided to take the time and to become part of the fabric and become part of the inside of Greenville. As Charlie mentioned in Jeremiah 29, to seek the welfare, the good of the city. And for us, one of the ways that, that plays out is that we will begin to build relationships with our city, but also our communities and our schools and organizations in town to partner with them in what they're doing. And then where you work, where you live, where your kids go to school, while they see you serving there and caring for people there, hopefully that will lead to conversations about why are you doing this? Why is your church doing this? And then hopefully that will allow you to be able to dialogue and be a testimony for Christ and for what it really means to follow Jesus, but also for the church. And say, this is what the church should be about. And this is why we're giving ourselves away with no expectation of return. I firmly believe that if we're going to be a community of grace, living out the purpose and personality of Jesus in our world, the world needs to know we're here. They need to know that you exist. So what I'm saying is, going forward, we want to be as intentional in doing ministry outside these walls as we are inside these walls. We have a great ministry here. And I leave every Sunday refreshed with the worship, and I hear stories about children's ministry. We have such a great ministry here, but we want to be as intentional now outside the walls. So that people all around us know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus cares for them, and that there's a church that just wants to serve them. So this is this inside-out strategy. We can develop relationships with leaders in our city and in local organizations through partnering with them in events that they're sponsoring or that they're passionate about. So hear me, when we invite you to partner with us, we're not just asking you to come help us accomplish a task or to come help us do something. I mean, obviously, yes, when we invite you to join a project, there's a task to complete. We're trying to do something. Yet the event is not the end for us. We won't go back in isolation afterwards. The event is, in a sense, a doorway to make you more aware of the countless needs of people all around you. Events provide a way for you to see your neighborhood, your community, the school, or the sports complex where your kids play, or the restaurants you always go to. Events help you see that there are needs of people everywhere. And that through an event, you may see it with a fresh pair of eyes. And hopefully these events, when you get to work alongside of someone, will lead to conversations about your story, about how you've started your relationship with Jesus, and what does it mean to be part of the church? Conversations that may open the doors so people could see that there's no agenda here. We love Jesus, we love the gospel, and we want to serve people with no expectation of return. And then, most of the time, you'll get to share just a little bit of your faith about what Jesus means to you. And that little time you get to share your story, whether that's an hour or 10 minutes or just even one passing statement, it will spur you with excitement. You'll feel a bubble up in your spirit. Just like, God, where else are these opportunities? Where else may you be showing me an opportunity to serve someone or to share my story? At the workplace, in my neighborhood, at the soccer game? God, where else are you trying to show me, making me aware of opportunities to serve people? The event's not the end. In a lot of ways, it's just the beginning. And being more aware of the lostness of our people, of people around us, will continue to renew the desire to shine a light on Jesus and who he is, and also his church. I hope you see what I'm kind of getting at. Maybe when you came in today and Charlie started and then we started talking up here at the table, you almost checked out. You almost thought, okay, we're going to hear more about what Southside's doing. We're going to hear more about a new job, and Jonathan's going to talk about what's happening in his life. Yet I hope as we've been talking, that that there a little thing is kind of built up in your soul. And I want you to know we're inviting you to something more than just hearing stories. We're inviting you to be part of the story. We're inviting you to join us as we serve our city from the inside out. We're inviting you as individuals and as families and as community groups. We're inviting you into it. We just don't want you to hear about it. We want you to have stories to tell about it. Even though I'm the director of city involvement, I can't be everywhere you are every day. I can't be everywhere at every time. And even though Southside is committed to serving people with no expectation of return, it's impossible for us to be aware of and involved in everything that you know of and everything that you're passionate about and everything that every opportunity that you know that you can speak into. See, a big part of my job is to be a catalyst to help you see that the gospel goes with you wherever you go. To be a catalyst, to be a help for you to see that wherever you go, the gospel goes with you. So let the truth of that set in. If the gospel goes with you wherever you go, that means every day there are opportunities to live on mission with God. Every day, because the gospel goes with you, you now can live on mission with God. It's not like we keep the gospel boxed up, you know, in the worship center from Monday to Saturday, and you come in and you just get a little bit. Like, it goes with you. So when you're talking to the coworker, gospel's there. When you're serving a neighbor, when you're talking to a waiter or waitress, when you're at the bank teller, gospel's there. And we want you to embrace this inside-out strategy and go, God, is there an opportunity here? Is this an opportunity for me to live on mission with you? Now, we understand as leaders that we have to equip you to live like this. And there will be more information in the coming months about opportunities to learn and to be equipped. But if we're honest with ourselves, we all know how to start a conversation. We all know how to say hi and ask someone how they're doing. We all know how to build relationships. And yeah, it comes easier for others. But here's what's so cool about God, about how he's working in your life, is that every person that God brings across your path, every circumstance or situation that God makes you aware of, every serving opportunity that God specifically puts on your heart, God put it there because you're the best suited person for it. He put you in that pathway so that you could live your life serving others with no expectation of return, realizing that the gospel is the power of God. You don't have to muster up strength to do it. The gospel compels us. The gospel is the power, and it goes with you everywhere you are. There's never a person you meet that Jesus isn't interested in. It doesn't happen. There's never a situation where the gospel isn't the answer. And very rarely is there a circumstance that God doesn't want you to serve in someone. We want to be a church full of people living on intentional mission for God by serving our city and our communities and our schools and our neighborhoods with no expectation in return. We don't want you to wait for an event. We don't want you to wait for us to say, go do. We want you to live always looking for opportunities. Our prayer is that when people see that, people see you living that way, they'll be drawn to you. Not so that you can have more names on your Christmas card list. Not so that we can have, you know, 12 services on a Sunday and people know Southside all over the city. We want people to meet Jesus. We want people to have a relationship with Jesus. And living this way, people will be drawn to you. We say it all the time. It's not a tagline. We really, really want to be a people living out the purpose and personality of Jesus in every area of our life so that we might have an opportunity to reintroduce people to Jesus. So we're inviting you to join us. We're inviting you to join us as we serve our city from the inside out with no expectation of return. We're inviting you to join us and partner with us as we're on mission with God. Now, as we talk about events, there are two big broad categories, okay? Two big broad ones. One is where we serve directly with people. We come alongside of them and we serve with them, and it directly affects someone right away, kind of like a hands-on green thing. But then the other category of events is where we come alongside an organization, where we're actually able to serve the organization in such a way that that enables them to serve other people better. That would be like a food drive or a clothing drive. And we have another opportunity like that to invite you into today. One event that's happening in our city, but all across the nation, is the Cancer Prevention Study, or CPS3. Now, the American Cancer Society has been around for 100 years. And this is only their third survey. So this is a very historic event. There'll be a slide popping up here soon with some information on it. So let me tell you what this is. The American Cancer Society approached me and said, hey, would you partner with us? We've never had a church in Greenville partner with us. We hear about what you're doing. We've met some of your people. We love what you're doing, and we want you to join with us. Will you partner with us? And I should have told her I would pray about it. But I didn't. I just said yes and said, God, I know you're in this. I know you want our people to be part of it. And the process is very simple. We're looking for people between the ages of 30 and 65 that have never been diagnosed with cancer to take a 30-minute online survey right there at that website, and then you register to go to just a hospital, a participation site, to remove some blood, and it's all totally anonymous. All totally anonymous. But we'll be part of a historic study that may be part of helping find a cure for cancer that will have, obviously, life-changing effects for our kids and our grandkids. This is a really big deal. Companies all over Greenville are doing it, like Floor and Michelin, and I was able to help mobilize some other churches to help serve our city as well. So we're just inviting you to join with us in this really historic, unique opportunity to serve the American Cancer Society and to help us serve the city well. So, Charlie, I'm putting you on the spot. Are you going to register?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So good.
He asked me right off the bat, will you do it? And I said yes. And so, I don't know, you think we got the right guy for the job? Yeah, I think so.
Thanks.
You know, when Jonathan began talking this morning, we played that short video that reminded us of how beautiful Greenville really is. And, I mean, no question in my mind, we have the most beautiful downtown in the Southeast. And it's easy to love our city, meaning that we love what our city offers, that we love the great restaurants and the great shops and the great recreation and entertainment. It's easy to love what our city offers. But I don't know if you picked up on this, but in the video, something was missing. Something was missing. And that was the crowds of people. I mean, there were a few people scattered here and there, and I know why they did that, because they want to show off the beauty of the city without a bunch of people cluttering it up. But but the fact is, you know, when you and I go downtown, we're around hundreds and thousands of people. And it's easy to stroll through Falls Park. It's easy to sit and watch Shakespeare in the park. It's easy to stand on the corner and listen to jazz. It's easy to ride your bike on the Swamp Rabbit Trail. It's easy to eat in a classy restaurant like Sobeys or Nantucket's. And, you know, I can do all of those things, and I can be totally blind to the spiritual condition of people all around me. I can be shopping in Walmart, and Karen's going, you're like, well, you never go to Walmart. I do go to Walmart. But I could be shopping in Walmart. I'd be driving down Woodruff Road or Pelham Road, and I can see people, but not see people. Not see people the way God sees them, as helpless and hopeless and lost and clueless when it comes to knowing who God really is and what He's offering them in the gospel of Jesus. What I need and what you need and what we need as a church is for our Heavenly Father to give us eyes to see and opportunities to serve the people we rub shoulders with every day so they see Jesus and His church in a more positive light. Look, I mean, it's true. There is a church almost on every corner in Greenville, but there are still hundreds and thousands of people who, when it comes to knowing who God really is, they don't know their right hand from their left. And so what we are inviting you into this morning is this developing strategy. We want you to join with us as we seek what God has for us as we seek the welfare of this city. As we seek to be more intentional about what goes on outside these walls than inside these walls. I don't know how we can answer the question any other way. Shouldn't we care about this city? Absolutely. Absolutely. For the greater fame of Jesus, we should.